Oh, welcome to Family Church, Corey, the Saturday night edition, right? Praise God, hallelujah. Actually, the Family Church, the Corey edition on Saturday night. Praise the Lord, but glory to God, we're here. I hope you're excited that you came to church tonight. We got a word from heaven, amen. We got something for us tonight. I know God's got good plans, good purpose for us, amen. Tonight's message is called Preferring Him. And we're going to be talking about preferring God, but you know, God's plan and His purpose in us, amen. Glory to God, and we're going to get into some good things here tonight. Some things will be familiar to you. Some things might be a reminder, but all things will be good. All things will feed us. Amen. One thing I know, you know, I was just talking to Josh about, you know, he was talking about going to a restaurant out there in Erie, Roadhouse. Anybody ever been to Roadhouse? Well, if you haven't, they have lots of, you know, steaks. You come in, they have a big cooler full of steaks. But how many know that every time somebody goes in there, they're never disappointed that there's steak in that cooler? Amen. And there may be the same cuts of steak, you know, and if you go to a place like that, once in a while, you probably have your favorite kind of steak that you go for. And we know that, you know, if you go in there and you get that cut of meat, I usually have a favorite cut of meat that I go for. And so I never get sad when I go and I'm like, oh, I got to eat this again. Amen. That it's always a good thing when I get in there and feed good. And so the Word of God is the same, of course, as we continue to grow in the Lord. It's important to continue feeding on the Word of God and feeding on the things that He's intended for us to feed on, amen? Because that's how we get nourishment. That's how we get the nourishment that God has intended for us to get, and that's how we walk out His plan. Praise the Lord. And so tonight's message, Preferring Him, we're going to be talking about a bunch of things, but we're going to start talking about preference, amen? And these things, you know, some of these things came to me earlier in the week, and throughout the week I've built on the message, and so I'm excited for it and how it's coming about. It didn't all come together all at once, and that's okay. I like sometimes how you sit on something and stew for a little bit, and John was talking about that last time he preached, right? Yeah. About stewing on things. You want to stew on the right things, though, yeah. Right? You know, you don't want to get... But when you let something simmer, it gets all flavored up and stuff. I know he was talking from a little different standpoint, but that, praise the Lord, that's good. Praise God. So we're going to stew in some things tonight, amen? But the first thing that came to me in the preparation of this was preference will only lead you away from your help. Yeah. Personal preference. Preference will only lead you away. There's nothing wrong with having a preference, but it's wrong to let preference control you. And so this is something that we see all throughout Scripture. God's given us the choice. He's given us the ability to have preference, and preference so many times will help us, will be a good, we'll prefer our preference, amen? We'll go after our preference. But you know, if you pursue preference above all else, if you pursue it above truth, that it's only going to lead you away from what God has intended to help you. And this is, you know, a fact that I've seen in Christianity, being a pastor now for 6.5 years, roughly, praise the Lord, and being a Christian for much longer. One of the things that I've noticed over and over and over again is that it's personal preference generally that takes people away from the plan of God, that takes them out of the plan of God. Now, it's not that God doesn't want you to want things or to desire things, but He doesn't want you to have those things control you. And we're going to get into some stuff here tonight. And I'm really kind of excited about some revelation, praise the Lord. So just hang on, we're going to get there, amen. But there's nothing wrong with desire, but be ready to receive and embrace that which is given. You know, contentment is a very important thing. I think we'll be talking about contentment as well tonight. You know, and, you know, so often I was an example of this. I spent my life in so much discontentment, always being somewhere else. You know, before I really knew the Lord or was serving the Lord, and I was just living a life that wasn't blessed at all, that wasn't good at all, how I did things was just based on my preference and based on my desires. I didn't have any grounding in any kind of truth. I just followed them wherever they would lead. And how many know that your desires, you know, they'll change? Praise God. We have some younger people in here, and the thing that you need to know, if you don't know this already, is that in 10 years, you're going to think differently about stuff that you think today. You're going to think, well, man, this is my preference. Even food, I found. You know, when I was younger, I loved celery. I mean, loved celery. I love celery salt. I love anything flavored with celery. Now I don't like celery. I don't know what happened. My preference just changed. Yeah. Amen. And maybe I got greater revelation on celery. Maybe celery is really bad for me. I don't know. But the point that I'm trying to, why is this all about food? Well, probably because I'm hungry. Amen. I'm just kidding. But, you know, food is a good illustration for us to use because we all can appreciate that. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, we need to be ready to receive what God has for us. You know, part of this is the knowledge and the learning that has to get put into us that, you know, what God has for us isn't bad. What God is, you know, God may have things for you that you don't particularly want, but when you get there and when you get through it, what you'll see is that they bless you the greatest. I found this, especially in relationships, this is one of the greatest places where people will prefer what they prefer, and they'll go after their preference, and what that does for them is it traps them into a place a lot of times where they miss what God actually has for them, and so they get into a relationship. You see, a Christian should never have to get divorced. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I'm not going to say that there aren't things that come up, but I'm saying true Christians shouldn't ever have to get divorced. Now, if any of you know my past, I've been divorced. And that's because even though I was a Christian, I wanted my preference and not what God had for me. I didn't seek what God had for me, and there's a difference in that. Amen? And one of the ways that we embrace what God gives us is not by constantly going before him with something, holding it up before him and say, Lord, is this mine? Is this mine? Or give this to me. You know, you can ask God if something is for you. There's nothing wrong with that. But we don't just, you know, if you're constantly going before God, is this mine? Is this mine? You've already established in your heart that that's your preference and that's what you want. And probably you're not really willing to let go of it. Amen? And so we need to learn to trust God to show us what belongs to us. And when we trust God to show us what belongs to us, what it does is it takes a lot of pain and suffering out of life. Because then we're not going around, you know, always trying to figure out, you know, that's the way I lived my life before. I was always going around trying to figure out, always living in my dreams, always living in my ideas. I'm not saying it's wrong to have dreams. It's not wrong to have desires. Please don't take that away from this message. Dreams and desires are good, but we need to keep them in their place. Amen. We need to be content where we're at. Praise the Lord. And so, glory to God. We're going to start in scripture over there in Matthew 6:13. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Now, and this is part of what is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. You know, if you've been in my services lately, you'll notice that I've probably been reflecting back to the Lord's Prayer in some way many times. But this is just another aspect of it. And this is something that I saw in my spirit. And God showed me some really interesting things here. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're in Matthew 6, verse 13. It says, "Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Amen. And so, you know, this kind of stumped me a little bit for a long time. I would look at this, and when I started learning about God, one of the things I started learning is that God isn't going to lead me into evil. He's going to lead me into good. We have to trust that. So this idea where it says here, "Do not lead us into temptation," is an interesting thought, because who would really think that God's going to lead you into temptation? Praise the Lord. But what I wanted to what show me, let me see where I can find this here. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is really what we have to understand about the scripture here is that the scripture is not written to instruct God. The scripture is written to instruct us. And so the scripture, the purpose of the scripture, when Jesus was giving this prayer, he's telling us what to expect and what to receive. Amen? When it says, "Do not lead us into temptation," it's saying, let's see, I have it written down here. My writing is in the shadow. What do you say? Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to reflect back first. I got a little confused there for a second. Sorry. Back in verse 9, it says, "In this manner, therefore, pray." Or in other words, with this understanding. is what God was telling us to do. So the Lord, when Jesus was telling us to pray this way, he's saying, pray with this understanding. Amen. With the understanding that God isn't going to lead you into temptation. Amen. And so in other words, it's not God's desire for us to go into temptation, but it's our desire, and we're going to see this, it's our desires that lead us into temptation. It's not God's will that we go to a place of being tempted in the flesh. You know, the Bible tells us in James that God doesn't tempt the flesh. Amen. We're going to get into that a little bit tonight. But so when he says, do not lead us into temptation, he's not telling us to pray, Lord, please don't take me to a place where I'm going to be tempted, where I might sin. Because God would never lead us into that place. Amen. Praise the Lord. So this is praying in line with his will. We need to remember that the word was given to not given to instruct him. It was given to instruct us. So when you're praying to God, you're not instructing him on how to lead you correctly, in other words. You know what I mean? I think we're getting there. Praise God. So let's turn on over. We're going to go over there to James 1. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes when you're getting a message, when you're putting a message together, you get a lot of revelation, and you go to a lot of different places. And so, even in my Bible, it's starting to get to the place where a lot of these areas, you know, you can see, like, this is just this page, but, it's all written around, and it's highlighted and stuff. And so sometimes you write down your thoughts, and you're writing down, you know, what the Lord's dealing with you. And so you can get a little bit lost in there as you're just glancing at it, but praise the Lord. James 1:12. Glory to God. And the Bible says here, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And so, the first thing is that we understand that temptations are going to come to people. We're going to learn about temptation here in a minute, but we understand that temptations are coming to try to distract us. They're trying to get us off. They're trying to get us to sin. That's what a temptation is. You're not wrong if you're tempted. You're not evil if you're tempted. Jesus was in all points, the Bible says, tempted as we are. And so we understand that there's temptation that will come after us, but temptation is not meant to control us, is not meant to lead us. But we're going to make a connection here in just a second. Amen. Praise the Lord. But he has promised that he will receive the crown of life, which is really important. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. Praise the Lord. So God wouldn't lead us into temptation, right? For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But look at this. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Amen. Enticed, another way that is said in the understanding, another way you can define that is it gives the indication of being caught by bait, right, being baited. You know, the devil will bait you and draw you in when you have your own desires, and that's what our desires do so often. Is desires are God-given. God's given us the ability to desire, but he did not intend that we would be controlled by our desires. It's just like our emotions. God never intended that we would be led and controlled by our emotions, and this is the reason why so many people choose wrong. So many Christians, they get the word of God. You know, people say all the time, people are outside the faith. They say, well, those Christians, they don't act right either. Why don't they act right? Because a lot of times, even though they have the word of God, even though they've been given the salvation, even though they've been given the things, the Holy Spirit and the power and the ability to rise above these things, they still don't listen to that. They listen to their own desires. They listen to their emotions, and then they're drawn away into those things. Amen. And so we have to understand that our desires, when they're unchecked, when we don't put a stop on them, when we don't, there's nothing wrong with having a moment where you daydream or something like that. But if you spend every day just daydreaming and stuff like that, eventually you're going to act on those things. If you have if you're always focused on what you don't have, you're never going to see where God is working in your life in the moment. And this is a huge problem, because it drives people out of that place of contentment. And why does God want us to be content? Because God is a God of peace, and he wants us to be in peace. And if you're not content, you'll never be in peace. You cannot be discontented and be in peace at the same time. And if you're not in peace, the Holy Spirit, who is the very God of peace, he can't operate in you. He can't show you what he has for you, because you're rejecting it by saying, well, I'm discontented. And you say, well, I'm not saying that, but you are by your actions. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we don't want to be people that are just constantly drawn away by these things that we desire, by our appetites, by our, you know, when I say appetite, I don't just mean our appetite for food, but our appetites in general. We don't want to be controlled and manipulated by our own desires, because they will do just that. They will control you and they will manipulate you. And why is that? Because our desires have to deal with the human flesh. The Bible tells us that the flesh wars against God, and God against the flesh. Amen. And so when we are just consumed with the flesh, what are we doing? That we are rejecting God. We're saying, God, you can't operate in my life. Now, see, the thing that I've learned is that if you follow God, he will help you operate in such a way that will bless your flesh. Glory to God. Is that God didn't give you a flesh that can be blessed to not bless it. But he just said, don't let it control you. Don't let it be something that is your leading. And this is where people get into trouble. Every bad decision I've ever made was because I made it in the flesh. Not because I made it according to the Lord. Not because I made it according to sound doctrine or the word of God. Because I made it according to my flesh. My flesh wanted what it wanted. I followed my flesh, and it always ended in destruction. And that's exactly what the Bible is telling us here. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desire and enticed. And the devil knows this. And so he makes sure that your desires are, he knows what your desires are. And so he makes sure that your desires are coming up often. Then when the desire has conceived, look at this, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Now let's stop there and look at that. What he's saying is every good thing that you have comes from God if it's truly good. God is not delivering to us bad things. And when he said there's no variation or shadow of turning, that means that God isn't like, all of a sudden, he isn't different one day. He decided to do something different another day. He just kind of like, I'm going to bless you today. And today, every good gift is coming from me. But tomorrow, it might be pain and suffering that comes from me. And so many people look at God like that. They think if something bad has happened, it's because of God. But that's not the truth at all. In fact, the Bible teaches us that it is up to man to decide what happens on the earth. God is not in control of all aspects of our life. And we have to get that settled in us. Praise the Lord. And so we have to understand that it's not, and a lot of times, it's not just the things that we decide or that we want that affect us, but think of things collectively. Yeah. Listen, God has given human will to every single human that exists. And so if most of the humans have a bad will or are going to make bad decisions, then that will affect us in those areas. But God has given us the ability, the power to rise up and rise out of that we don't have to be controlled by those things forever, that God has given us the ability to control our own outcome. But see, so many people, they think, well, I'm just going to leave it in the hands of God. But God said, don't leave it in my hands, because you're my hands. You notice that Jesus is the head of the body. What are the hands? They're part of the body. The body is supposed to be doing the will of the Father. Amen? And so the hands of God are literally the church of God. It's the people. The church of God is the people of God that have come together. And when they come together with the knowledge and the understanding of the word, then they can operate in such a way that causes blessing, that causes God's will to come forth. Now, we know that God's will is not automatic on the earth. How do we know that? Well, the Bible says that God wills that no man should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. We know that the Bible tells us that. Well, if God wills that, then why doesn't that happen? Because people aren't falling in line with God's will. Because God's will does not control everything. Now listen, it doesn't mean that God is not powerful all of a sudden, because we understand this, that when God set the earth in motion, he set things this way. So while Adam is here, in other words, the human race, while Adam is here, that race is going to be under those controls. It's going to be under that. This is why things, you know, people say, well, why doesn't God stop that bad stuff that happens? Because it's not up to him to do it. It's not about him. He said, I have put the control in your hands. You're not stopping it. And see, we see this. We see even Christians, they can't agree on anything. Why? Because they're not being spiritual. They're being carnal. You aren't going to agree with me on everything in the flesh. Hey, I'm going to like blue. You're going to like green. And we might not agree, even though they're part of the same. But we might not agree that both colors, one color's better than the other, right? Or we will agree that one's better than the other, but we might disagree on which one it is. Amen? I like steak, my wife doesn't. Glory to God. Hallelujah. More steak for me, praise the Lord. Less for her. We're both happy. Glory to God. But we don't agree on the taste of steak. Amen. And so the point that I'm trying to make is that, we're not going to agree on the flesh. Why do we have so much chaos in this country right now? Because everybody's trying to agree or disagree on the flesh. And if you don't agree with them, what they're trying to say is, you need to agree with me or I hate you. But see, when everybody agrees with God, it makes things so much easier because God transcends the flesh. God's laws are far above the flesh. Listen, it's not hard when you look to heaven. But we're not looking to heaven. People aren't looking to heaven. Even the church isn't looking to heaven anymore. Half the church is looking around like, well, I'm mad at you because you did this, and I'm mad at you because you did this. And Jesus said, just don't be mad at anybody. If you're going to be mad at anybody, be mad at the devil and leave it at that. Amen? Love your neighbor. Jesus said, I'll give you a new commandment, right? The whole premise of the New Testament, that's not acceptance. That's not saying that I accept everything that's wrong or evil or anything like that. We don't. But it doesn't mean that we just try to destroy the one who is acting in that. Because most of the time, they don't know that they're acting wrong. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so, there's no variation or shadow turning with God. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So God has intended us to be, what's a first fruit? It's the producer. He wants us to be a first fruit of his creation. In other words, we produce it first and then others produce it later. But Christians aren't producing anything by and large. There's a lot of Christianity that are just, well, man, if I could just wake up today and get through the day. Listen, that's so much, that's all that is discontentment. We have to learn to have trust in our God. And I know I preach on this a lot, but I'm going to tell you one of the things that I've learned, not just for you, but for me as well. I need to hear it a lot. You need to hear it a lot. We need to remember that we can trust God. And so when you're going through a hard time, and it looks like God has left you, what does the Bible say? It says, trust God. He hasn't left you. He hasn't forsaken you. Just because it looks bad, and we're going to get into some more of that today. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know where my scriptures. Oh, yeah. In Hebrews 13:5, it says, Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, some people take this idea of being content with such things as you have and saying, well, the Bible says you can't desire anymore. That's not what it says at all. He says, let your conduct be without covetousness. That's an important statement. What he's saying there, what covetousness is when you remember, covetous isn't just money. It's not just desiring money. It could be desiring money, but coveting something is desiring something, anything that you don't have. Yeah. Amen? There is nothing wrong with desiring something you don't have, but he said, let your conduct be without covetousness. In other words, the way that you go about life isn't just trying to gain the stuff you don't have. Yeah. But what are probably 99% of all people in the entire world doing? They're spending their lives trying to get what they want to get. What are they doing? They're coveting whatever they don't have. God said, I'll take care of you. You can desire bigger things. You can desire great things. You can desire things that blow other people away. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't let your conduct be covetous. Don't let your conduct be driving you towards just trying to get those things. We need to think about other people. We need to think about. Now listen, this isn't just about getting stuff. This is getting what you want. You can covet anything that you don't have. Maybe you don't have peace. You can covet peace. Now, the Bible does say seek peace and pursue it, but it's true godly peace. Yeah. But you not, that doesn't mean seek peace and pursue it the way you think you need to do it. It needs to follow His Spirit, and He will lead you into peace because that's what His Spirit does. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And what Paul was telling the Hebrews here, praise the Lord, is that don't get all worked up about what you don't have. Be content with such things as you have. Yeah. For He Himself has said, God Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What are you dealing with in life today? What is the thing that's missing from your life that's calling to you and that's even controlling your day? What is that thing? That's that thing trying to cause your conduct to get in line with coveting that thing. But God said, if you seem to have lack, don't worry because I haven't left you. When He says the word forsake, it means to abandon or leave behind. When you're abandoned or left behind, I mean, they're gone. There's no more hope, right? Yeah. That's what abandonment means. But God says, I won't ever. You know, one of the things that blessed me so greatly, praise the Lord, is, man, how do I say this? Glory to God. When I was, I had desired a relationship that I never had. Well, I'm just going to leave it at that. With a person that I should have had a better relationship with. I desire that relationship. And it wasn't, and there was a day when I realized that relationship was never going to be what I wanted it to be. I got to a place of peace and understanding, and I was okay with where I was at. But I was a little bit sad by it the day that I had discovered it. And I remember driving down the road, and as I was driving down the road, very clearly in my spirit, the Lord spoke to me because I was meditating on that. You know, I was desiring that relationship. And very clearly in my spirit, He spoke to me. He said, I'm going to be a father to you. That's what He said to me. And when He said that, I knew that He wasn't just talking about, I'm going to be your heavenly father like everybody talks about. That's great. But He said, no, I'm going to be your father. I'm going to be your dad. I'm going to fill that void in your life. I'm going to reach out, and I'm going to reach out into your life. I'm going to be your inheritance. I'm going to be the one that you can look at. I'm going to be the one that you call daddy. That's what God said to me. Praise the Lord. Never leave you. Never forsake you. See, people will mess up. People will screw up. I'll fail you, but God never fails you. He's never left you nor forsake you. And see, the trust comes when we realize truly in our hearts that that statement is true. And when we realize in our hearts that that statement is true, it don't matter what it looks like around us because my heavenly daddy is looking after me. My heavenly father is looking to pour into my life. And He may say, you know, you're in a spot right now. In this spot, you got to be in this for a little while because there's some things that are going to happen. I'm setting some things up. But don't you worry because I haven't left you. I haven't forsaken you. Today is the day to trust me. You can trust me because I'm your dad. I'm your heavenly father. I've never given you reason to doubt. I'll never give you reason to doubt. Every human around you will fail you. People will come up short left and right, but I never will. I'll always be there. I'll rise to the occasion. I'll be there every single time. You don't have to have anything special to come to me. All you got to do is look up to heaven and say, Daddy, I need you right now. And I'm there. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And you know what I've found in my life? It's just the way it is. God has not left me nor forsaken me. I lived a life of such extreme depression and such extreme anxiety and such being so completely lost in this world. But when I got the knowledge that my God wasn't just Santa Claus in the sky, but He was real, and He interacted with me, and He talks to me, He speaks to me, He tells me, He gives me direction. He says, son, go over here and do this, and guess what? You'll be blessed. And I go over there and do that, and guess what? I'm blessed, praise the Lord. And there'll be opposition, but He says, don't worry about it. There'll be times where the devil will raise up all hell coming against me. And He says, don't worry about it. Just keep your eyes on me, because it was never that stuff that was going to come through for you anyways. See, you'll get what you think you want, and it won't satisfy you. It won't fill you. But when you embrace God when you embrace who He is, when you embrace the truth that God has never left you nor forsaken you, then contentment isn't hard because you know you have access to heaven 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Doesn't matter if you're 10 years old, doesn't matter if you're 20 years old, doesn't matter if you're 50 years old, 100 years old, God is still there. He will still come through and He's going to still fulfill His promises if you will trust Him. And see, it all comes down to that one truth. You must trust Him. True contentment in God is being secure in your present knowing. Your present knowing. It doesn't matter what it looks like if you know God, because the answer is never far from you. You may not know what you're going to do, but you can rest knowing that whatever, even though you don't know what you're going to do, He's going to do something that will get you where you need to be. He's going to do something that will help you. And even if you screw up, this is the greatest thing. He said, I'll never leave you forsaken. If you're a believer, you have surely dealt with the fact that at some point you felt that you screwed up so bad that God wanted nothing to do with you. But He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Why does it say that there, where it says, let your conduct be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have, for He Himself says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Because He's saying, whatever you don't have, I'll bring it. I'll supply it. It doesn't necessarily, the problem is a lot of Christians come in and they start hearing these kind of messages and they like them and they're like, man, that stirs me up. That gets me excited. I want this God. And so they start following them. And not everything happens overnight. Life doesn't change overnight. Well, guess what? It's not going to change overnight. You don't need it to change overnight. All you need to know is the one who can change it is with you. And that's where you stay. And that's called peace. Because you know what? The wind's going to blow. You ain't going to stop that. You know, sure as anything, the days got shorter, the nights got colder, it started snowing again, and there'll be summer again. There's seasons in life, just like there's seasons. And God has given us those seasons to understand that there will be seasons all the time in life. There'll be seasons where you'll have so much you won't know what to do with it, and there'll be seasons where it seems like there's lack. But it doesn't change God, and it doesn't change your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Unless you forsake Him. And see, this is exactly what the church has done, is so many in the church have forsaken Him. Praise the Lord. We have to know that God has our future, but that can't just be something that Christians say. We got to stop just saying He's got, we sing songs, He's got the whole world in His hands, but nobody believes that. Nobody believes that a loving God has the whole world in His hands. God's got your future. And He says, I've got a good future. Jeremiah 29:11, He knows the plans and the thoughts that He thinks towards us. He has plans and a purpose for your life. Not that you walk around trying to figure out what it is. No, He says, just follow Me and I'll show you what it is. I'll make it easy. You ain't got to make it hard. You know how many different things I've tried to do? Even being a Christian, I just tried to do a bunch of different things. It was like, if you just follow Me, it'd be easy. You wouldn't get into stuff that, that's fruitless. You won't do things that are fruitless. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. It is when you have decided that God is truly good and has not nor will not ever forsake you. Amen? Glory to God. This is the place that we need to come to. We need to get to that place. And the way that we're going to get to that place, honestly, is answering. We have to start answering the thoughts that aren't in line with the Word of God. We have to, the Bible says to cast down every thought or imagination that exalts itself above the knowledge of Christ. What is the knowledge of Christ? That He paid for the way to get in. You didn't deserve it. You can't earn it. So don't worry about losing it. He made the way. So that's what you need to do, is accept the way, embrace the way, and He'll change your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 1 Timothy. Folks, we are living in a time where discontentment is the name of the game. If you look around you, what is all the trials, all the problems? Listen, I don't care what color you are. I don't care what background you have. I don't care what your family connections are. None of that stuff. None of that stuff should have anything to do with your contentment or discontentment. Your contentment or lack thereof, right? Because if you know God, and this is where the church has failed this nation, because this nation no longer knows God. This nation no longer has a God that because if God provides for you, it needs nothing from anyone else. Praise the Lord. If God's, and that's exactly what God wants to do, but we have to learn how to get into that. What does the devil do? He takes the fact that the church has not exalted God enough, and he runs on it, and he says, you lack, and you lack, and you lack, and you lack. And the truth of the matter is, in the flesh, they do lack. You know, there's all this fighting going back and forth, and people are saying, well, you shouldn't feel that way. Well, yes, in the flesh, they should feel that way, because they do lack. But God is your protection. He is your supply. He is your all in all. Praise the Lord. He wants to be everything to us, every single man, woman, and child. But we have to embrace that. And that's exactly what I did. That's what changed my life, is I embraced that. And I said, I'm not letting it go. You know why? Because I lived in hell long enough. I didn't want to go back to hell anymore. Living in hell. You know, when my wife and I lived in a one-bedroom apartment, we couldn't even afford gas. Grocery, we couldn't afford nothing. We had a little electric space heater propped up on a book to keep it level because it was broken. And that's how we heated the place. When we lived in that place, it was only the Word of God that brought us out. It was God working in us and working in our lives, and we start seeing favor, and we start putting to practice the things He said in our lives. And guess what? Our lives change. And the more that we embrace those things, the more our life still change. The higher that God takes us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy, you found that? 6:6. It says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. See, this is the thing. This is an often, probably quickly read, you know, we focus on contentment. But it says godliness with contentment is something. It says it's great gain. It's not just gain. It's not just help. It's great gain. Godliness, living right, living according to the Word, living the best you can, living according, you know, setting your life, going after Jesus and not letting go. Praise the Lord. And with contentment, being at peace where you're at. Listen, the gain doesn't happen. You know, faith without works is dead, the Bible says. What is the faith work in the statement? It's the contentment. God didn't say, I'm going to keep you in contentment, because God won't keep you in contentment. If you're looking to God for contentment, you're looking in the wrong place. You know what you need to do? You need to go to your bathroom, open the door, go on inside, stand in front of that sink that you brush your teeth and comb your pretty hair in, and you need to look at the person that's looking back at you in the mirror. That is the one who has the control over your contentment. It is not anyone else. It's not me. It's not the government. It's nothing anybody else can provide. There's nothing, no friend, no date, no wife, no husband. None of these things are going to provide for you contentment. Yeah. Praise the Lord. God has provided all things for you, but it's found in contentment. Where's the great gain? Godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. It says it is great gain. That's what, when you mix godliness and contentment, you get a great gain cake. Yeah. Amen? That's what will come out the other side. A great gain cake. You know, I love cake. Praise the Lord. And if you don't, now you do. Praise the Lord. Great godliness, contentment, great gain. What's the contentment is simply, what contentment is, it is simply a statement of our faith. Yeah. That's what contentment is. Contentment is, Lord, in this moment, I trust you. Yes. This moment that seems like, Lord, I trust you. And then every time your thoughts start going away, they start going, I want this and I want that. Listen, you don't have to worry about that stuff. God will bless you. Well, what will bless you? Do you know what I've learned about God is that He knows will bless me more than I do? Yeah. I think something will bless me. I finally get it and find out it doesn't bless me at all. Yeah. Like, why did I even want this? You know what I mean? Yeah. Stuff like that all the time. Praise the Lord. But, you know, God will give you stuff that you thought will bless you. Then he'll let you keep it even though it's not blessing you a lot. And he'll let you keep it even though it's an extra. It's just there. Yeah. Why? Because if it blesses you a little, that blesses God. But see, God's greatest desire from us is faith. The Bible tells us that it's faith that pleases God. His greatest desire is for us to trust him. And that's what contentment is. It's trusting in God. It's saying that no matter what my situation is, I trust God. How does a Christian smile? You'll sit there and say, well, Pastor Jeff, you tell me to be in joy. You tell me I got to put on joy, and you tell me I got to do these things. How do I get there when all hell's breaking loose? You smile because you trust God. And if you don't trust God, you can't smile because you're not going to get what you want anyways. So you might as well move on over to the place and trust in God when there's a reason to be discontented. Move on over to that place because you have no hope otherwise anyways. There is no hope out there in the world. Have you learned that? Have you learned that the world isn't lining up at your door to do what you want them to do? To take care of you the way that you need it, that's going to bless you the most. Have you noticed that the world isn't delivering you anything? But God, well, he says, you got to trust me. That's the key. That's what opens the door is trusting God. You know, my wife and I, I'll just be honest with you, these stimulus checks, it's a joke. You know what all that is? That's about getting people to trust the government and to lay down the word of God and say, you know what? The government will take care of me. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter who gives you the stimulus check. And we spend it too. I'm not saying you can't spend it. That's not what I'm saying. But there's people that are, so I remember I used to be like this. My yearly stimulus check when I was poor, poor. My yearly stimulus check was at tax time because I had a couple kids and I was dirt poor. And so the tax time was the only time I ever had any money. And every year I looked forward to that. Every year I was like, oh, I can't wait to get that. You know what? I don't even care anymore. I don't even care what it looks like. You know why? Because God takes care of me all year round. I would rather be taken care of all year round by God than to get something once in a while from some government official because they deemed it okay. And I'm not saying it's about whatever. I don't care. I'm not moved one way or the other. A stinking stimulus check is not going to make me or break me. You know what? We spent ours in about, 15 minutes? You know what I'm saying? I mean, like people are like, oh, get a $1,200 stimulus check. That's a lot of money. You know what? It's not a lot of money. Because if it costs you more than $1,200 to live every year, right? You're not going to take $1,200 and make it last the rest of your lifetime. You know what I mean? It's $1,200 nowadays. It's like 12 meals out. Yeah, if you go out to not even a nice restaurant, you take your family of five out to Applebee's. Well, that's what I'm saying. Praise the Lord. So my wife says you won't even get 12. It's nothing. 12 meals. Listen, you eat 12 meals in less than a week. Right? If you eat average, that's four days worth of meals. That's how long that's going to supply for you. And everybody's looking at that like it's the end all to be all to everything. You know what the end all be all to everything is? Trusting in God, contentment in him. Why? Because the Bible tells us that even in the time of famine, God will increase you. You know what I've found? In the time of famine, God increases me. And you know why he increases me in time of famine? Number one, because I trust him. But number two, because it looks really good for him. It looks really good. Like it's kind of like God rubbing it in the nose of all those people that say that trust all the worldly things that always fall flat for him. It's like God being able to say, oh, look at this. All this guy did was trust me. He didn't do anything. He didn't lift a finger. He just trusted me. He believed my word. He trusted my word. Guess what? I took care of him. I cleaned it up. Praise the Lord. You're in a mess. Are you in a mess in your life? Do you have something, praise the Lord, that is coming against you? Do you have a mess and you don't know what you're going to do? I tell you what, I get myself in the mess all the stinking time. Ask my wife. I can get myself in a mess in minutes. I can get myself in a mess sometimes. But I just look to heaven. See, if you look to heaven, if you make a habit of looking to heaven, and when you turn it, that's how you turn it around. How do you get in contentment? Is you start looking at when the discontentment comes knocking, you look at it and you say, this ain't your place, go to the next one. You can't do it here. You can't, and I mean literally saying that. And then believe it, you can't have my contentment. There's a song that I love, an old gospel song that says, the Lord gave it, the world can't take it away. The Lord gave it. The world can't take it away. If the Lord gives it, if he's given me peace and given me the ability to have peace, then the world can't take it. You know where the world takes it? When you let it go. You say, there you go. Because discontentment comes knocking and you have your, you know, this is what you do. Come to your door with your contentment, your peace in hand. Discontentment's after you didn't know who was at the door. There's a lot of times you didn't know what was coming. Right? How many times has something happened and you're like, I wasn't expecting that? You know what I mean? And so you go to the door, you know, the door's knocking, you go to the door, oh man, it's discontentment coming to take my peace. Here you go. And then you go back in and cry. Why do you do that? Did God leave you?
No.
No, he didn't leave you. He just said, well, why did you give him what I gave you to keep? He is our peace. God is our peace. Doesn't the word tell us this? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Godliness with contentment is great gain. All that out of one verse. Amen. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. I love people that are so focused on building for the future. Now, I don't have a problem with saving and stuff like that. That's godly principles. But they're always focused on the future. Listen, you can amass billions of dollars, but at some point, you're dying. You're not going to be here anymore. And at some point, you're going to transition into that next life. And guess what? You aren't taking with you. You're not taking your billions of dollars. It's staying right here. In fact, some scumbag is going to get it. You know what I mean? And spend it the way you didn't want to. You know that? See, that's the thing. When somebody passes, they people always have all these wishes. You know, they have all these wishes of things that they want. And, you know, I always love that because half the time people don't do any of that anyways. They're like, I'm sorry, you died, but we're going to do it the way we wanted to do it because we're the ones that have to clean up. You're the one, you know what I mean? Your will doesn't matter once you're dead. And so whatever you have amassed, that literally leaves with you or that's dead when you're dead. And so you can't take it with you. Amen? It's not going with you. Praise the Lord. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. You know, that's a design of the Lord. That's not even a flaw. That's like God designed it that way. He's like, yeah, you can have it here, but this is how much it doesn't matter. That you only get it for a few, like even if you got it for your entire lifespan, that's still nothing, not compared to eternity. Amen. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. I love justice. I love the way it says that. It is certain we can carry nothing out. Praise the Lord. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But look what it says here, verse 9. But those who desire to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare. That sounds an awful lot like what we just read in James, doesn't it? Those who desire to be rich. The word desire literally means to have a purpose to do that. So when the Bible says those who desire to be rich fall into a snare, a trap of the devil, what it is their purpose is to be that. God is not saying here that it's wrong to be rich. He's not, because God himself will abundantly supply your life. So God is not saying that through Paul here. He's not saying that it's wrong to be rich, but he's saying those who have a purpose to be rich, they fall into a temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts. Look what they do. They drown men in destruction and perdition. Praise the Lord. And then, of course, verse 10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And I always, every time I read this scripture, I always bring it up because people always quote this wrong. They say the love of money is the root of all evil. That's not what the Bible says. It says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Listen, I don't love money. I appreciate money. I like money. When I got money in my pocket, I'm happy. But I don't love it. It's not something that I have. If I have $10 in my pocket, or if I have $10,000 in my pocket, it shouldn't move me as a Christian. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Some people come to God to get something, then they leave if they perceive they haven't got it. Contentment is not refusing to desire. and it is not guaranteed instant fullness. It is rest in the fact that you have all that you need because you have God. God is the supply. See, this is the whole point that the Bible tries to get through. Oh, and you see this from Genesis all the way through to Revelation, that God is always trying to say to his people, if you trust me, I'll take care of you. Even in times it doesn't look like it. Now, I had a conversation this just yesterday, in fact, with a good friend of mine who's also a minister. And he was telling me about this message that he recently preached. And it was I went back and listened to it. It was a real blessing to me. But one of the things that he said to me really stood out. And he said, a lot of people, he said, that there's always pressure when it comes to getting something good. And that's because if it's good, there's a devil that wants to oppose it. But he said most Christians, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, but most Christians fail because they don't want the pressure, so they give up. See, if you're a Christian, you're faithful, you're following God, and you experience pressure on something, that pressure is just to try to keep you from not getting it. It's not given by God, but it's from the devil is trying to block you from walking into that because God doesn't want it. There's always pressure in good things. There's always, because every good thing is going to be opposed by something bad. The pressure shouldn't move us. Praise the Lord. Contentment is when you have pressure. When the pressure is coming against you, when it's pushing, and you feel like, well, listen, if you're in the world, if you're following the world, it will crush you. You have no hope. The only hope is God. But if you're in God, if you're in Christ, and you're doing your best to follow him and be in his plan, it doesn't matter what's pressing against you. It cannot crush you. The Bible says we're pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. That is not God's plan. That is the opposition of the enemy. Surely you feel it. Surely you have felt it. Surely you have things in your life that are opposing a good, happy life. But they shouldn't oppose to the point where you lose all peace. And if they have, this is what you need to do. You need to speak to it. You need to stand against it. You know, James 4:8 tells us that we have to resist the devil and he'll flee. Praise the Lord. Isn't that James 4:8, right around there somewhere? James 4:5, somewhere around there. Glory to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Amen. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Contentment is not refusing to desire, and it is not guaranteed instant fullness. It is rest in the fact that you have all that you need. How do you know that you have all you need? Well, if you know you have Jesus, if you know you have the Holy Spirit, if you know that you're in God, you know what I mean? If you know you're in God's plan, you have all that you need. God has promised to supply it. And it's that simple. We're going to close with this, Matthew 6:33. Praise God. Matthew 6:33. Probably on the top list of my favorite scriptures. Yep. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You seek first God, and he'll make sure that you have it. We watch God move in so many people's lives just because people have put their trust in him. And I have every reason to believe that he would do it in your life too. God isn't withholding anything. The Bible says he withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly. God is not withholding good from you. So don't withhold praise from him. Don't withhold your trust from him. Because that is the thing that's going to open the door. Peace at all costs. That's what we need to live. Christians, that's what the desire of God is for our life, is to live in peace. And how do we live in peace? We just endeavor that's where we're going to live, with all costs, at all costs. Amen?